Mohudi. The founder of Delivery Gutspeed, his company is breaking boundaries by revolutionizing the logistics space in townships across South Africa. Operating in over 20 townships, from Gauteng to Limpopo, Delivery Gutspeed brings urban-level convenience to local communities and creates gig work opportunities for township youth. Mohudi's journey shows resilience, innovation, and the power of a well-defined mission. Let's hear directly from him on how he's building a business that serves as a bridge between township economies and urban resources. Mohudi?
Noctula, how are you?
Yeah, Pila, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, so lovely to have you. I know you're super busy. Yeah. How's the day been going?
The day has been quite, you know, back-to-back meetings, but yeah, everything, I mean, it's that time of the year as well.
Yeah.
So especially for us with logistics, there's a lot of, you know, movement.
Yeah.
With the festive season. But yeah, we're managing and we're taking it one day at a time.
That's dope.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard your story quite a few times. I've been following your story, but I want to hear it from the horse's mouth.
Sure.
Can you tell us a bit about your background and what inspired you to create Delivery Gutspeed? And what was the gap that you saw in the township market?
100%. So I was born and bred in Hammanskraal, which is a township in Pretoria.
Yeah.
Found myself in Joburg doing my first year, you know, at UJ in 2016.
Yeah.
That's when, you know, the entrepreneurship bug, you know, hit me. And, you know, I started my first business, which is a tutoring company. So we had, you know, tutors, you know, helping other kids with maths and science, you know, homeworks and all that. That business really grew, you know, exponentially across the country. And then COVID happened.
Ooh.
Meaning that we have to go back home. So home is Hammanskraal. So I go back there.
Yeah.
I realize, hectic, there's no Uber Eats or Mr. D, which I'm so used to in Joburg. But also the third part that I found when I got to Hammanskraal was seeing my former classmates, right? Guys I went to school with, sitting on the corners, having really nothing to do with their day and just seeing how life has turned out for them. It was really sad for me to see that. And I thought about how about I create a business that can solve those two problems, right? Which is convenience in the township as well as youth unemployment.
Yes.
So that guys can participate in the economy of the townships.
Wow, that's actually really brilliant.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit, Uguti, what are like some of the challenges that you encountered when you were starting out? Yes, you found a solution, but obviously every solution comes with challenges.
Yeah.
So what were some of the challenges?
So look, I think if you can start a business in the township and make it work, you can thrive anywhere else.
Yeah.
Because in the township, the roads are not as great.
Ish.
You know, the connection for internet is not as great.
Yeah.
So you have to deal with those two challenges. And I think at the time, load shedding was also becoming a challenge. So dealing with all those things that are unfortunately out of your control as an entrepreneur, you need to be innovative, right, and find ways on how, you know, you can succeed and at the end of the day give customers a pleasant journey. So my biggest challenge, you know, starting with food delivery was literally, you know, addresses, right? Because we know in the townships, even though there's a house number and there's a proper address, if you put it on Google Maps, it just doesn't show. That was a big challenge for us, right? Because with deliveries, you need accurate locations, right? So that you can do the job well.
Yeah.
But we had to be innovative, right, with that.
And 100%.
And we had to use landmarks, right?
Yeah.
Which could be a tree, could be a postal office, could be, you know, a tavern, anything that we all know, right, in the township. Because remember, we hire locals, so the drivers know that landmark.
Yes.
And if we use the landmark, then we can definitely get around to deliver that order. So those are some of the challenges that we had to face, but I'm glad we've been able to overcome them. Yeah.
Wow. So like with like identifying a gap, you obviously have to sort of like put yourself in the situation, just like how you were able to put yourself in the situation. So, but with that, you have to gain as a business. And actually, I came across a post on Facebook. These guys from Ulundi, which is predominantly rural.
Sure.
And such solutions actually work mostly in an urban area and a township. So their cry was that they travel 40 kilometers out of town. And that has broken their bikes, etc. How important is market research?
Yeah. No, it's very important. And I think that's one thing that we also, you know, thought was not as important when we started.
Yeah.
But only when we started to scale our business, we realized that, you know, one thing is a fact in South Africa is that all these townships are not the same.
Absolutely.
Yes, we are categorized as townships or rural, but each township has its own dynamics, has a way of working. They all have a system. They all have like different modes of transport. You know, we could all be using taxis. I mean, for example, in Soshanguve, Babergisa Di Venture, you go to Mamelodi, they use City Golf. Fish. And you're like, you go to Atteridgeville, they use Caravella. And these are all modes of transport, but it's different vehicles. And
absolutely,
with all that, you need to understand, okay, how does the community get around, you know, and all that. So market research, very, very important. You would have seen on our socials, for us, before we go into any area, we try to work a lot with the NGOs.
Yes.
So we will invest, you know, in giving back to that community so that we get insights from the NGOs. We get to hear from, you know, the unemployed people what exactly, you know, type of work could work in that particular area. What type of vehicles, if we need to bring in vehicles, would be ideal for that market, because that's really vital.
I love that because it shows how connected you are with the community. And I saw that you were actually recently Emandeed.
Yes.
I was born there. I wish I knew it. I don't. So my parents left. But I was actually, my heart got so warm. I'm a CSI person.
Yes.
What exactly were you doing there?
Yep.
And why Emandeed?
100%. So it's intentional, right?
Yeah.
We working in the areas that we work in, we understand the challenges that exist, right? You know, township areas have gone through, you know, quite a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
And as a business that's operating in those markets, the little we can do is to give back.
100%.
So every single month, you know, we have a budget of just literally going to an area and just donating to the NGOs. We empower the NGOs to be able to donate to the beneficiaries. So we don't go directly to the beneficiaries because unfortunately we don't know them, right? We don't know the community. We don't know the needy people in the community, but the NGOs do, right? Some NGOs are orphanages, right? And when we give them, like in Mandeni, we gave them stationery packs for exams because it's that season now.
Yes.
And that's empowering, right? Because this is a student who wants to study, but they don't have an exam pad. They don't have a highlighter. They don't have pens. They don't have a calculator. So by us giving back, we're saying, let's empower the student, right? And that student will never forget that company that came in when they were in grade 12 or grade 10 and empowered them with stationery. That got them, you know, a distinction and now they're at university and all that. So it's just those small things that we do before we say, guys, we're working in Mandeni now. The people of Mandeni would have already known about us because of the work that we've done.
Oh, that is amazing. And I love education. Like you said that the entrepreneurship bug actually caught you in varsity. So that just shows how essential education is. So kudos on that. I mean, you do a lot of great things that I know. But how were you able to expand? Like, the growth.
Yeah.
It's insane. You're going on 5 years, right?
Yeah. So we're going actually on four. So we started in 2021. We just celebrated our third anniversary in July. So we're going into our fourth anniversary.
Amazing.
Look, I think the township market has always been, you know, asking for this type of a service.
Yeah.
I truly believe that convenience is a necessity regardless of your LSM, right? So whether you are higher or lower, nobody wants to stand on a queue. No one wants to wait longer for their order to arrive at their house.
Mm-hmm.
And we truly believe that we are providing that for the township market. You know, the township market has been neglected in terms of logistics. I mean, one of the reasons could be that they're far out from the main economic centers. And we're saying, look, we operate in these particular townships, so they are not far from us because that's home. That's where we are from. And just connecting them, you know, to the rest of the world through e-commerce.
Yeah.
And again, e-commerce, there won't be any e-commerce without logistics. And we truly believe that e-commerce, you know, is an equalizer. You literally need a phone and you can shop anywhere you want.
Yeah.
But if there's no delivery to your township, you can't do that.
Yeah.
That means a lot of people are excluded, right? If you don't have a proper address, you can't buy online because why? How are you going to get the delivery?
It's gonna locate you. Yeah.
So that's where we come in as Delivery Gaspeed, and we say, how do we empower, you know, the people who are staying in the township, not only as consumers, right, but also as producers? If I'm in a township and I'm selling stuff, how can I get those things out of, you know, the township to the rest of the world?
Yeah.
Again, it's logistics.
Wow. Yeah. And you've obviously bridged the gap with us facing a lot of unemployment in the country. Like, it's really bad.
Yeah.
And you've sort of created like a gig for someone.
Yeah.
I don't really know the structures of your work, whether it's permanent or what, but someone has something that actually puts bread on the table.
Yeah.
Like, what sort of feedback have you received from creating that?
It's amazing. So, I mean, I think you would have seen on our socials as well, we recently handed over our scooters to our drivers who had been on the program for 18 months.
Wow.
And this was a rent-to-own model, right, where, you know, they pay $350 per week for 18 months towards the scooter. And after that, they get ownership, right? And now they own an asset, right? An asset that they could, you know, sell, which I hope they won't, that they could rent out to someone else and start generating income, or they can continue operating on our platform, right? So, and even with that, it was, again, understanding the market that we're operating in. We don't expect these guys to go out to the bank and get a loan to get a scooter.
No.
They don't have that, you know, luxury.
Yeah.
So we as a company had to find partnerships like Telkom to say, guys, here's a group of guys. We really want them to work. How can we finance their scooters? And the guys have proven that, you know, they will actually pay for the scooter.
Yeah.
And it was such a beautiful event where we're able to hand over, you know, the ownership to the guys. So those are the type of solutions that we have to get guys into the gig economy. Because, again, we can't expect them to have all these assets and have, you know, high levels of, you know, entry into working. Let's make it as simple as possible. And I truly believe that will be one of the things that will decrease the unemployment levels in our townships.
And Khudi, you mentioned partnership with Telkom, which has, I believe it has been longstanding because from a media perspective, I've received quite a few invites that involve Delivery Gaspeed. How essential are relationships in business? There's someone who's listening to this conversation or will be listening to it that has a business of the similar nature, but doesn't know how to navigate relationships the way that you have.
How can I say this? You need to speak English, eh? You need to speak proper English. You need to be able to get into the boardroom, have the confidence, know what you're talking about. Have that, you know, that urge as well, and that desire to want to help.
Absolutely.
And you will really realize that, you know, there's a lot of companies out there that want to do good, but they just don't have the right channels.
Yes.
Right. So if your company has that channel and it's a proven, tested model that can really benefit the township or the community that you're operating in, companies will jump on it, right? Because these companies do have a budget, right?
100%.
To do CSI and all these initiatives.
Yeah.
And you just need to be able to sell your story quite well.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you don't see yourself as the winner in this case. You have to see the beneficiaries as the winner.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's exciting. So partnered with guys like Telkom, guys like Exemplar, who, you know, own quite a lot of malls, guys like Bidvest Waltons. We've partnered with Spa as well, where we do the deliveries for Spa to you. So there's been quite a lot of, you know, partnerships that we've been able to achieve. And again, it's because of the story, because of 100%. Why we exist, right?
Yeah.
Our mission is to ignite hope and unlock possibilities, right? We come to the office day in, day out to just ignite hope and unlock possibilities. Yeah.
I'm so inspired. As young as you are, like someone placed it, or God placed it in your heart to just provide a solution that's actually changing lives. Yeah. And I'm actually picking up that you're speaking on the importance of education, because I feel like education comes with confidence. And in order for me to walk into a boardroom, that comes with me having an educational background.
Yeah.
And as you said, that it's about the people. So my ego aside, if I have an ego.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to win, right? So you need to walk into that boardroom, and in your mind is the beneficiaries, because you are representing them. It's not about what will I as Khudi get out of this deal, right? Because especially if you're an entrepreneur, you're not going to get any short term, you know, rewards. Everything is long term, right?
Absolutely.
And if the community is involved, especially in our case where we operate in areas where are considered, you know, are high in terms of crime,
yeah.
you need the community buy in.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what Delivery Guest Speed is trying to do. Let's get the communities, you know, into our business so that they protect our business, you know, from any challenges that we might have.
Yeah, because you can't be everywhere.
Yeah, we can't be everywhere, yeah. right? And we always say our drivers are the ones who represent our brand.
Absolutely.
And if those are the guys who are representing the brand are the guys who are actually from the community, that's great, right?
Yeah.
You know, we always say at the office, you went to school with Thabo, you went to church with Thabo. Now that he's on a Delivery Guy Speed scooter, you want to take a chance.
No, it doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work like that. So if we involve the community,
yeah.
Then it becomes, you know, a community business, which is what I really want for the business.
I think you have created that. And recently, Delivery Guy Speed was featured in the Capitec Business Banking campaign,
yes.
which highlighted your journey and the growth of your business.
Yeah.
So how has Capitec instant payment feature supported the operations in the business?
Yeah.
And what did it mean for the business to be part of yeah. the campaign?
Yeah, look, I love what, you know, the guys from Capitec, you know, have done with the campaign. It was not just, let's shoot the TV shoot, let's bring in actors who
yeah.
will act like
that
Hoodie
was dope.
And all
yeah.
of that. They literally used me.
Yeah.
I had to act for the day. They used my mom, my real mom,
yeah.
you know, the real drivers, which is really exciting to see, right?
Oh.
So literally no actors at all.
Yeah.
And it was shot in Hammarskraal, you know, in our hometown. Even the extras, you know, a
yeah.
lot of guys were involved in this project.
Yeah.
But over and above that, you know, we do business with Capitec. A majority of our drivers are using Capitec, you know, accounts.
Yes.
So we obviously have to use Capitec as well as a business.
Yes, yes.
That way payments to our drivers and our merchants is seamless, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's really exciting to also see such a big brand, you know, coming down to Hammarskraal and saying, guys, we want to capture your story because we believe in what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
And we'll put it out on TV. So I'm really excited to see the shoot going out sometime in January next year. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, really exciting.
And when you like think to yourself, these moments, yeah. they're surreal. When you started, you probably didn't envision some of the things that are happening today. Or maybe you have. Like, how does it feel like when you just sit down with Hoodie and you're like, yeah. wow.
Yeah. So look, I mean, as an entrepreneur, obviously you have to be ambitious.
Yeah.
You have to be, you know, you need to visualize, you need to see things in the future because that's how you actually, you know,
yeah.
get to wake up the next day because
yes.
you believe next year is going to be like that and that. Even though you don't see the exact details, you don't see Capitec in your visuals,
yeah.
but you do see that impact
Absolutely.
That this business will have. So I did believe that things like this will happen. Maybe
wow.
people around me thought I was crazy, which is fine.
Of course, they always think that.
You know, but I did visualize most of the things that are happening in our business.
Yeah,
yeah. Sometimes it's over what I had visualized, but as an entrepreneur, you need to think about the future.
100%.
You need to plan for the future
yeah.
so that when these things come through, they find you prepared, right? You don't want an opportunity arriving by your doorstep
yeah.
and you're not ready, right?
Opportunity and meets preparation.
100%.
Yeah.
And when you're prepared, even with saying the same things of going into a boardroom with Telkom and all these guys, you should be ready,
100%.
Right? And how do you get ready? You just sit on your laptop, you know, and do the actual work, right? Go on the ground, meet the drivers, do the actual work so that when Capitec comes and says, where are the drivers? You should be able to point.
Exactly.
They are the drivers, right? Because,
yeah.
and again, it's very important for entrepreneurs to make sure that you control what you put on social media versus real life, right? Because you don't want people seeing what's on social media thinking this business is booming.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, cool, let's do business with you.
Yeah.
And they realize, hectic, there's nothing here, right? So it's really important that you maintain that level of accuracy and authenticity, and your story matters, right?
Absolutely.
These guys come to you because the story is important. Yeah,
I really admire that because I think I'll say our generation, like
yeah.
when you start something,
yeah.
you very we are so quick to like show it to the people.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's an ego thing or something. Sometimes
yeah.
it creates a lot of sabotage.
Yeah.
So I really like what you said, that you actually
yeah.
show them the reality, yeah. not that now you're just creating a certain picture,
yeah.
because that then creates unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
and then you're sort of like walking on water.
Yeah. And also, I mean, be very, and again, I think previous generation entrepreneurs never had to experience this,
yeah.
right? They just ran their businesses, and if you know about it, you know.
Yeah.
But we, I mean, we're living in a world of, you know, social media mm-hmm. where, you know, we will post what's happening in our business.
Yes.
And I think some of the things that we try to avoid is not to post things that haven't happened. Like,
sure.
we should never post things that we're going to do, right? Because there's so many things that could happen, you know, that's outside of our control.
Yeah, it's life.
So we try to only post when it's literally done and probably even a month later.
Yeah, yeah.
So that nothing can happen.
We've processed
it. When we buy the cars, yeah. we'll use them, but you'll only know a month later that, oh, by the way, we have a new fleet of cars and all that.
Yeah.
And yes, we'll post. Why? Again, going back to our mission statement,
yes.
to ignite hope and unlock possibilities.
Yeah.
Young people, other entrepreneurs, or other people who want to become entrepreneurs, they look at our content and they're like, if Khudi from Hammanskraal was able to do that,
yeah.
I can surely do that as well, right? Mm. So, and that's literally the only reason why we would post, you know, our achievements or our milestones, right? To literally just show the people that we're trying to ignite
yeah.
hope in, to really see that we're actually doing the work. And I think it's really exciting and refreshing, right? To see
Absolutely.
A business being built from ground zero
yeah,
to the next level, right?
Yeah.
Especially in our generation,
yeah.
right? We find all these businesses already 10 years, 20 years around.
Mm.
But here's a business that we're seeing today, literally from zero, I don't know to what number. Yeah.
Only the sky is the limit. I really love that, and I'm really inspired, actually, yeah. as a person who also like works for themselves. Like this conversation has sort of built me. And obviously you said that as an entrepreneur, you don't do things for today. You do them for tomorrow and yeah. the future and even beyond your own life. So looking ahead, what's next for Delivery Gas Speed? Are there like new services or other townships
yeah.
that you have on the pipeline that you'll be working with?
Yeah.
Any innovative features that you're hoping to introduce?
Yep. Sure. So I think it's really exciting stuff that we're working on, which, again, going back to my previous statement, you know,
yeah.
we'll only mention once it's
live. It's done, yes, yes, absolutely.
But we've done a transition in our business,
yeah.
A pivot. So from food delivery, which is what we started, you know, the business with,
yeah.
we are more of a logistic company now that focuses on logistics, courier, as well as last mile. But again, connecting the two markets, you know, the township market as well as the urban market, we see township deliveries, you know, as our primary focus. Yes,
100%.
We'll probably do, you know, a Rosebank order, but
yeah.
for us, that's a secondary, you know, focus. And again, that's because we want to empower the people in the townships, right?
Mm.
We want them to participate in this big market of e-commerce,
yeah.
which majority of are unfortunately excluded, and not excluded just as customers, but as producers, right?
Yeah.
We have so many people in the township who are selling things. And when they have to now sell online, there's this hurdle of, okay, how do I get someone to come pick up?
Yeah.
Yes. And someone to pick up from, you know, my area in Soweto so that they can go deliver, you know, in Sandton.
Yeah.
And we come in as a solution to that person to say, let's empower you so that you can sell and make money and hire more people. And that's where we see how more young people can, you know, start working.
Yeah.
So next steps, definitely growing that, you know, part of our business, the logistics, connecting townships to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
We're currently in four provinces: Gauteng, Limpopo, Northwest, as well as in Mpumalanga.
Wow.
Next year, we're planning on doing the coastal provinces.
Nice.
Rolling out some cool features, which we will announce when the time is
when
right.
When the time is right, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's very exciting. And what are like your closing remarks for someone that that's been looking at your journey and hasn't had like an opportunity to sort of like throw a DM or comment and you respond, like in terms of navigating the business that you have started? And
yeah so like I think, and again, I go back to my previous statement of visualizing and all that. I think as an entrepreneur, you know, you want to be able to focus on where you are.
Yeah.
Right, which is really important. So always try to, and this is something that I try to tell myself every quarter, because
yeah.
I get lost sometimes.
Yeah.
To always be where your feet are, right?
Sure.
And be in the moment, right? So if you're in grade one, for you to get to grade two, you need to pass grade one very well, you'll get to grade two. Same with grade three, you need to pass grade two very well. But you find that with an entrepreneur, you're in grade one, but you're already stressed about matric and who...
Which, we do that as humans,
which metric dance dress you'll be wearing, which suit, who are you going with, which car and all that. Even though that might be important, sometimes it derails you from where you are now.
Yeah.
And you end up losing focus on the 10 clients that you currently have now, the 2 clients that you currently have now. And when you're thinking about a million clients... And reality is, if you just satisfy those 2-3 customers, they will tell someone about your service and you will grow gradually. But more than anything, those 10 customers are the ones who are going to help you grow your business, because they can give you feedback.
Yeah.
Feedback to help you to get to 20 customers and all that.
Sure.
So I think to any entrepreneur listening to this is focus on where you are.
Yeah.
Right? Because just like at school, if you do your grade one work very well, you will eventually get to grade two. That's just how the world works, right?
100%.
Just focus on where you are. Make sure you know you are the best there. You remember at school, a teacher would come in at grade six and say, I want the top 5 in this class, you know? Not grade 7, not grade 8, grade 6. So those opportunities will come.
Yeah.
But when they come at the stage where you are, are you a top 5?
Yeah.
Right? Or are you top 10?
Yeah.
Right? So in every stage, in every grade that you are as an entrepreneur, opportunities will come. But when they come, you need to be, you know, a high achiever so that you're the one who's able to take on those opportunities. So yeah, that's my 2 cents.
Wow. So seasons are important. We shouldn't shy away from them.
100%.
Wow, that's magical. Also, how can we find you on the socials? I know them, but please tell the listeners.
Sure. So, Delivery Gaspeed SA on all social platforms. Check out our TikTok. We really have some cool content that we take at the office.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Khudira Khedze Farid on all the socials. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Khudi. Cool. Thank you for sharing
your
inspiring story with us
cool.
and for showing us how township entrepreneurship can be both profitable and impactful. Delivery Gaspeed is a true example of bridging communities and empowering young people in meaningful ways. Thank you for tuning in into Life as a Freelancer, brought to you by Times Live. Don't forget, you can find us on Ayono FM, Spotify, Apple Podcast. Join us next time as we bring you more stories from freelancers and entrepreneurs breaking new ground. See you on the next episode. Ciao, ciao. Thank you so much.
That was nice.
I hope that...